Holy God, you lay before us the words of your scripture. We ask that you use our minds to understand it, to interpret it for the use in our time. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our first reading today is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the day light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome, and it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters were gathered together, he called sea. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding fruit, and trees, fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs for the seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created this great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. And you shall have them for food. And so to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that had the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that he had made everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And reading from Psalm 24, the first two verses. "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it on the rivers." And reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Whenever I read Genesis chapter 1, two pictures come to mind. The first is from my childhood Sunday school class. I was probably 4 or 5 years old. We were each given small cards. Those of you who are old enough may remember them. Instead of big lesson plans, we had little cards. On the front of this particular Sunday was a picture of creation. It was a picture of the Garden of Eden in all its perfection. Adam and Eve in the center, and the beautiful trees and flowers and the birds and the animals all around them. And on the back were the words, "And God saw it was good." We learned the creation story that Sunday morning in Sunday school and memorized that line of scripture. And as was frequently the case, we were invited up front during the worship service to recite our verse for the congregation. My, were we proud of ourselves. We knew about God's creation because we had learned about it in Sunday school, and we also knew a verse from the Bible. The second picture that comes to mind is from a TV commercial. It's a picture of a camera panning over the Grand Canyon, and then it pulls back and focuses on the statuesque form of a member of the first people who populated this country, standing tall as he gazes out over God's marvelous creation. I've forgotten the words spoken in that commercial, but visits to the canyon have always been colored by that film, which was likely a part of a message about care of creation. The account of Genesis 1 is so familiar to us that we sometimes find ourselves glossing over what we are hearing. We have a tendency to move immediately to discussions of, did God really create the world in 7 days, or is that a metaphor for the Big Bang Theory? Sorry, the Bible makes no reference to any of the ancient or modern theories about the creation of the world. No, instead, the main thrust of Genesis 1 is this: God and God's creation are bound together in a relationship that is assured, but at the same time, as Walter Brueggemann has said, is delicate and precarious. Our place here today is not to try to analyze, but to return to that very familiar creation story and see it from the perspective of relationships. Consider again my childhood memory of the Genesis 1 account of creation. Consider the beauty, not just the perfection of the picture on the front of that little card, but the beauty of young children hearing about God's loving care for humans and all other aspects of creation. We are put on the earth to care for creation and nurture human life. The first place we learn that is in our relationship with family, within our homes. Jesus reminded his disciples, "Love one another as I have loved you." 2 months ago, we were confronted yet again with violence and death, and have been since. A teen, alienated and probably mentally ill, struck out at his peers and his teachers. Discussions that has been widespread on whether it was a gun issue, a school safety issue, or a mental health issue. Shortly after the events in Parkland, Florida, I wrote to my senator offering my perspective and hopes for some kind of response from him and from our Congress. I received a reply, and in the envelope with Jeff Fortenberry's letter was a report to his constituents he had written just after the events of February 14th. In his conclusion, he wrote these words: "Add to this," referencing all the other reasons for the actions of the young gunman he had mentioned earlier, "add to this the disintegration of community, as well as the loss of formative institutions of family life and faith life. Our disposable culture weakens our ties and the responsibility to be good stewards of things and to others. A culture of violence can only be fixed by a culture of commitment." by all. Commitment, care of creation as care of each other. It's not the only focus, but it ought to be a commitment we here today make to each other and to the children in our care. How can we or our children care for God's good earth if first we don't understand how to care for each other? Life in its fullness is a gift of God. A gift because in creation, God did not say each day, "This must be." No, look again at the scripture. In creating, God said, "Let there be light." Night, day, birds of the air. Life, full life, joined with others in this good creation is possible. It is a gift we can embrace with joy and commitment or ignore with said consequences. What that means for us today is that while we are called to affirm God's wish for good in our relationships with each other, we are called to affirm our relationship with God and our fellow travelers in life also. Presbyterian pastor and children's TV host Fred Rogers put it this way: "I believe that appreciation is a holy thing, that when we look for what is best in a person who we happen to be with at the moment, we are doing what God does all the time." So in loving and appreciating our neighbor, we are participating in something sacred. We are blessed. Blessed with a good creation, a God who loves us and cares about every single hair on our heads. God calls us to be attuned to his purposes as expressed in Jesus' words of love and relationship. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Creation is not complete. God is at work bringing all creation to his purpose. We are not our own in this, and we cannot ignore God's call to responsible relationships with each other. We are called to be shepherds, to nurture and care, to guide and oversee. Just as Lynn's and my friend shepherd Don McKinstry in western South Dakota has watched over his flocks and his cattle as another spring storm has come this weekend, we are called to be watchful, to be aware of the dangers, the pitfalls, the troubles of those around us. Little can be done about the past. What has been done has been done. But do we want to let one child, one adult, fall between the cracks? Aren't we our brother and sister's keeper? Aren't we challenged to welcome home the prodigal? The Aborigines have a saying, "Touch the earth lightly," which has become the title of a hymn about creation care, which we will sing shortly, and which you heard in the prelude. In that hymn is this line: "Christ, reconnect us, using us gently, making us one." It's to that creation care I would challenge us today. Our lives are interconnected. We are a community of faith, caring and nurturing our young people and walking beside each other in all of life. We cannot let even one fellow traveler fall by the wayside, feel outside the circle. As a congregation, we seek to be broadly inclusive, to be welcoming to all. We must always be alert to those outside, those on the fringes, those disconnected, as well as the one person next to us in the pew that we say, "Please, peace be with you." There is also the challenge of reaching further, beyond our comfort zone. Leonard Pitts, who is going to be here this afternoon, and I wish I could hear him, but other occupation. He writes for the Miami Herald. A few weeks ago, he told a story about a Muslim imam in London during one of the terrorist attacks in that city. Pitts wrote, and I quote, "The other day, a Muslim saved a terrorist." And then he goes on to explain that the terrorist, Darren Osborne of Cardiff, Wales, had plowed his rented van into a crowd of worshippers outside a mosque. He screamed, "I want to kill all the Muslims." The outraged crowd swarmed his van, pulled him out and began kicking and punching him so viciously that they might have killed him. At that point, Imam Muhammad Mahmud put himself between the mob and Osborne. "No one touch him," he ordered. no one. Jesus commands us to love our neighbor, and sometimes that neighbor is not someone we want to love. We have only recently left the foot of the cross, a cross designed to humiliate and kill in the most brutal, agonizing way possible. That cross, that man on the cross, endured punishment for us. Can we not show compassion and love for the least lovely of humanity? God created the world and all that is in it. God created humanity in God's image, and God saw that it was good. And that is the only message that Imam Muhammad Mahmud heard that day, and he acted. How many times have we passed by on the other side rather than be Christ for another human being? There is a second aspect to our reading of the creation story. Walter Brueggemann made an interesting observation in discussing Genesis 1. He wrote, "Creation is God's decision not to look after himself, but to focus his energies and purposes on the creation. In the beginning, it was good. All in this good world is a reflection of God's glory." Or as James Weldon Johnson wrote in his poem, Creation, "And then God smiled and God said, it's good." What God created was pleasing, lovely, beautiful. God was satisfied, delighted in what he had created. I wish I could find that advertisement that used the Native American gazing out over the Grand Canyon. Believe me, I Googled it a lot. It spoke of the good earth, clean air, blue skies, honest and responsible care of God's created world and all that is in it. I've often wondered what he was thinking as he stood there looking out over that canyon. Was he thanking God for giving us this good earth? The more I reflected on that, the more certain I was that as the first people in this land, people who depended on the grass for food for the buffalo for food, clothing, and shelter, he was really saying, "Thank you, Creator. Thank you." I know how we fail our relationship with God's good creation, and I know we are trying to do the right thing. We have been actively working as a congregation to lessen our carbon footprint in that regard. But how do we say thank you? How do we acknowledge our relationship to God as creator of this world we so often take for granted? One way this congregation is acknowledging that relationship is by becoming an Earth Care congregation. The most recent figures I was able to find point to nearly 400,000 congregations across the country, all denominations and faith, who have reduced their energy use by 10%. Our congregation is committed to a holistic approach to care of God's creation and our relationship to God through active changes in how we use resources, educating and exploring our understanding of God's creation and a role in it, in worship experiences such as these Sundays in April, where we consider aspects of being in relationship with God and being good stewards of God's creation. Stewardship of the earth, God's creation, and God's gift to us is part of keeping our covenant with God and with generations that follow. It is building and affirming relationships, our relationship with each other, and our relationship with God and God's good creation. Through our thoughtlessness and selfishness, it is hard to affirm it is good. We have disregarded the fact that, like all other missteps we make in life, our ignorance of all that God has created, humankind, animals, birds of the air, the very air we believe, ignoring all that is as much a sin as any listed in Scripture. We are called to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given us, and that includes the gift of human relationships and God's good created world. In the words of James Weldon Johnson, "And God stepped out on space, and he looked around and he said, 'I'm lonely. I'll make me a world.' And as far as God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than the 100 midnights down in the cypress swamp. Then God smiled, And the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, "That's good. May it be so." Amen. Amen.